As we lift our hearts, as we lift our hands, as we offer up praises unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Indeed, today is a blessed day. Today is a day that we come from the busy activities of this life to lift up our Creator and our King. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Indeed, someone ought to be praising the Lord for his loving mercies towards us. And so it is with that joy, it is with that love that we come this morning to lift up the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come this morning in your name to lift up your name. We come this morning with psalm. We come this morning, Lord, because you have called us to come. So Lord, as we come, we ask, Lord, that you'll accept our worship, that you'll accept our praise. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, and grant us your peace throughout this day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
To God be the glory, great things he had done. So love he the world, and he gave us his Son. To heal in his life, and atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Church. So he prepared pies because it's going to be served the next day at church. And he was talking to his wife. It was about 10 o'clock on Friday night.
And they were talking about what he's going to wear the next day. And he took a deep breath. And she said, how did he fall asleep this quickly? So she got up and she went to the kitchen. And when she came back, he was in the same position. She called the paramedics. And they said, he died maybe when he took the deep breath. You have no guarantees. And you not only saw this Sabbath, you saw the one in January of this year. You saw every Sabbath until this one. Where are the diabetics? There are diabetics in here. Blood sugar goes up and down. Their eyes, they can go to the hospital anytime. Either blood sugar is too high or it's too low. But none of them went to the hospital. Not for high blood sugar or low blood sugar. And I want to thank the Lord especially for my daughter, whose blood sugar does the same thing. Blessed of the Lord. Blessed of the Lord. And I've told you guys a few Sabbaths ago that so many kids were born here. Do you know that every child, there are billions of cells that are formed for that baby to come out correctly? And you take it for granted that the child is male or female. Do you know some of them come out and they don't know if they're male or female because some mistake was made? But yours have been blessed. Let us bow down. Let us worship the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to come up. I want you to just sit, to kneel, and I'll give you a few minutes to really reflect on how good the Lord has been to you for this whole year. Lord God of hosts, thou who sittest up in the heavens, before whom the angels veil their faces, crying day and night, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. This Sabbath we join the angelic host in ascribing praise to your matchless name, because you have been good to us, Heavenly Father. You have kept us unscathed throughout this year, bringing us in our right minds to say thank you, the great creator of the universe. Oh Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for our homes. We want to thank you for the families that have stayed together, husbands and wives and children. We want to thank you for your grace that has found lodgment in their hearts. We want to thank you for the homes that their pantries have always been full, always had enough to eat, and always had enough to wear. Their feet have always been shod with proper shoes, even socks, Heavenly Father. We want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you for jobs. Some of us, we are not self-employed, and we don't determine that we work every day. But you have seen to it, Lord, that there has been enough so that we can pay our rent and we can pay for cars and we can pay for gas and light that comes into our homes. Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for our children, that they have walked these streets and no one has taken them away. There's no death because of violence among our midst, and we ascribe it to your holy name when you said your Holy Spirit shall overshadow them and no darkness shall come in their dwelling. Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for our older people who
who have been in our midst, and though in form and though walking with Cain, yet you have kept them alive to be among us, to worship your holy name. Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this church that has remained standing despite of the turmoil. We ask, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit will continue to abide in our midst. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to us in gentle voices if you must. But Lord, if you need to, then you need to shout to us, this is the way. Walk ye in it. You have brought new members into our midst, Heavenly Father. We want to thank you that you have seen to it that they joined us in their Christian walk. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for each and every one of them. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would look into their home, look into their personal lives, and grant them a reward for walking among us. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our pastors that changed and new pastors that came. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your leading. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you grant us the spirit to follow. Oh, Father, grant each and every one of us a dedication to the positions that you have asked us to fill. When we go home at night, let us not rest so that you will tell us, this is what I want you to do among my people. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we have seen. Lord, you have shown yourself. May everything that has been done today be to your name's honor and glory. Lord, there are some among us who went to school. They left and they went to the institutions of learning. We want to thank you that they still acknowledge that they are children of God and not the descendants of an ape.
Yes.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you walk with them. We want to thank you that you lead them so that they will come up in our midst and that they would be born to call you blessed and show forth your praise in different methods and different tones. This is your day.
Yes.
This is your hour.
Yes.
We want to thank you again.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
Yes.
We pray. Amen. Amen.
I'm here on behalf of Health Ministries, and I'm going to talk to you about something that could potentially affect every person in here. It's pretty serious. The flu. How many of you guys have ever had the flu?
Yeah.
You've only had the flu once? That's a blessing. I, one year, had the flu twice, and it was one of the most miserable experiences of my life. So that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. One of the reasons is because now we're in flu season. Flu season starts in the fall, and it extends all the way until about February, sometimes March. But as you know, 2 years ago, we had the H1N1 that kind of just ravaged the country. And that actually extended all the way until May, June. I was working in an ICU in Michigan, and we were getting patients June, July that still had the flu. So it can continue all the way till then. But the average, like I said, will be from the fall to early spring. In the average year, about 5 to 20% of all Americans will get the flu. So up to 1 in 5. So it's a very prevalent disease. So what exactly is the flu? Does anyone know? It's a virus, so that's the first big thing. Anyone else have a clue? So it's just a virus. It's mainly of the nose, throat, and lungs. People think of the stomach flu. They think of more GI symptoms. But it can cause all kinds of things. More commonly, though, it's kind of an upper respiratory infection that people can get. And there are many viruses that can cause it. The most popular a couple years ago was the H1N1 because it really affected younger people. This was one of the first times where you saw people kind of in the middle age range where it affected them the most. But it can affect all age ranges, and there are multiple viruses that can cause it. The flu can cause anything from kind of these mild symptoms all the way to a pretty severe disease. And it just kind of depends on the person as to So as a result, it can cause anything from sniffles that you kind of work through and go to work, all the way to kind of laying you up in the bed for a couple days, all the way to hospital stays. Every year, around this time, especially medical ICUs and pediatric ICUs are full of people with just the flu, and you kind of take it for granted, because like I said, I had it twice in 1 year, and it didn't even faze me, but there are some people that it can really affect quite severely, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. there are certain people that the flu is a little bit more serious for. People with, they call them certain comorbidities or long-term medical problems. And the reason is because some people just don't have a lot of reserve. Young people, you know, you're invincible when you're in your 20s. And you pretty much are. You know, you can get the flu and you can keep going. But there are some people that have certain problems whereby if you get the flu, you need to be a little bit more cautious. Those are people with respiratory diseases, things like asthma, emphysema, certain chronic lung problems, other lung problems, heart problems, diabetes, blood disorders, such as certain endocrine disorders, liver disorders, etc. So if you're not basically in that 20-year-old group, as I am no longer, and you're not in a shape, you know, sometimes the flu can hit you a little bit harder. So what are the symptoms of the flu? So like I said, it's kind of an upper respiratory and can also cause lower respiratory problems. So it can be fever, cough, sore throat, a runny or stuffy nose, headaches, chills, and then you can sometimes have the classic that people think of, the vomiting and the diarrhea. So when are you contagious? Because one of the big things with the flu is if it can be something mild, you see people at work all the time, they kind of cough and sneeze and they kind of keep touching their keyboard or they keep picking up their phone, or you see them in the grocery store. I was shopping for Thanksgiving and this woman just kept sneezing like on my back and I thought, oh my gosh, really? Really? That's just completely disgusting. But, you know, and she goes and she touches everything and you touch it. So that's the big way that, because it's basically spread when you sneeze. So when you sneeze, you cough, you touch your mouth, you touch your eyes, and you go and touch other people. You're pretty much contagious kind of from day one. When you start to get, they say right before you kind of get your fever. So that's tough because you don't really know that you're horribly sick, but you're kind of, you know, still spreading the disease, like a little faithful, little, you know, disease spreader, if you will, all the way to 5 to 6 days after. So kind of a rule of thumb is you don't really know when you start to get symptoms, you've pretty much already been, you know, contagious, but at that point is when you should really start to be very careful, up until about 24 hours after you have a fever. So that's pretty much your big period that you should be careful. So how do you protect yourself? So like I said, you know, you go out. And the big thing at work you'll realize is keyboards and phones are the big way that disease is spread. It's really gross. But how do you protect yourself? You know, you're wandering around and you have these little microscopic disease carriers that want nothing more than in your wonderful little immune system and to cause havoc for, you know, 5, 7, 10 days. So what do? So one of the number one things you can do is get vaccinated. According to the CDC, vaccinations are for anybody 6 months and older. There are certain people that, you know, like if you have an allergic reaction, you've had an allergic reaction to vaccines, or you're maybe allergic to eggs, the way it's prepared, you shouldn't get a vaccination. But pretty much anyone 6 months and above, the vaccination is for you. There's a spray that you can get in your nose, and there's also a shot that you can get in your arm. And they recommend that you actually get it at the beginning of flu season, so before kind of these flus come through, that's the best time. But if you decide that that's not for you, you know, you decide, there are other things that you can do, kind of easy things. Number one, wash your hands. Wash your hands. You don't have to be, you know, OCD, you know, you don't have to go around every minute, but, you know, periodically through the day, wash your hands. Be very conscious of things that are around you. When you sneeze, it's the best time to wash your hands. And they also recommend when you sneeze that you don't sneeze in your hands, but you sneeze into your arms. They call it like the Dracula sneeze or something like that. And that's just so that, because people, it's an unconscious thing. You sneeze and you start touching stuff. But you sneeze in your arm, because your arm's dirty, but most people don't tend to touch your arms. Washing your hands. Do you know how long you have to wash your hands? They're actually
2 rounds.
Actually, 15 seconds. It's 15 seconds. You know how long 50? I'm a surgeon, and I'm telling you, I wash my hands all day long, and I never wash for 15 seconds unless I'm going to the OR. It's really long. I actually counted once. It's pretty long.
2 rounds and happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. Sing it two rounds. So 15 seconds. But anything you do, wash your hands. Number two, if you can't wash your hands, you can use the alcohol sanitizers. Let's see, so the vaccinations, I'll tell you a couple more things that you can use. Stay away from people who are sick, kind of common sense. You mean, don't have to avoid them like a plague, but you know, you can kind of limit your exposure. Like I talked about, wash your hands. Don't touch your eyes, nose, or mouth. If you're the one that's sick, try to stay away from people. If someone's sick in the household, kind of maybe put them in a special room and be very careful when you're going around them. At work, people are sick, they should have little wipes. You should wipe down your keyboard, wipe down the phone, because like I said, those are pretty big ways that people can get infected. If you cough, some kind of, I mean, they all seem like common sense things, but you would be surprised how not common sense it really is. So going back to kind of the vaccination, I didn't talk about this, but there are certain people especially that they recommend getting vaccinated. You know, the vast majority of people, like I said, will get the flu, and you may not even know you get it. You just kind of bounce on and you keep going. But there's a certain population that they say it's most beneficial, because if they get the flu, they tend to have more of the complications. Number one, pregnant women. Number two, children younger than 5, especially younger than 2. They tend to have a pretty significant problem with the flu. People older than 50. People with certain medical conditions we talked about earlier, if you have heart problems, chronic lung problems, diabetes, et cetera, they recommend you get the flu vaccine. People that live in nursing homes, the primary reason is because a lot of people that are sick tend to live in a small area. If you live or work in these areas, they also recommend that you get the vaccine. So healthcare providers, people that work in nursing homes, people that work in hospitals, is because once again, you know, you work amongst all these people, but you also have a huge capacity to spread it, because a lot of stuff you bring home from work, you bring to your family. So they would also recommend that you get the flu vaccine. So those are a couple, you know, very common sense things to think about with the flu. The season is here, and you know, it'll continue for a while, so just kind of be cognizant of these things. Thank you.
Amen, amen. I don't know what it is you come here to do, but I'm here to praise the Lord. What do you say? I'm here to praise the Lord because God is so good. God is so worthy of our praise. God is so wonderful. You know, this week we've been celebrating Thanksgiving, and this week is a week when most people are able to come together and just giving God thanks for all that he has done. And, you know, I am sure that each of us here has a testimony to give. I am sure that each of us here, the Lord has done something for us. The Lord has blessed us in so many ways, so many things that you and I could say today that we wouldn't have enough time to do it. But I want to, you know, we wanted to do something a little different today, because I believe that each of us as a church has a part to play in building up this temple, in building up this work. And your experience can help me to be a better person. My experience can help you to be a better person. And we're faced with challenges on every side. Especially now the devil is working overtime, even in the church. So much problems and so much challenges. And even in our own lives, we've been faced with so many challenges, especially in this economy, with all the things that are happening, and with all the things that are happening in the world, you know, it is a sign to tell us that Jesus is at the door. Jesus is coming soon, whether you want to believe it, yes or no. The signs are foretelling that Jesus is near. But the question is, are you ready to meet him when he comes? Because when he comes, there'll be no more time for you to get ready. You should have been ready. And this is serious business. You're here today, or we're here today, not to lift up yourself or not to lift me up, but to lift Jesus up, because of what he has done, what he has been doing in your life, in your personal life, and your walk with Christ. And so today, you know, several weeks ago, you know, we've been having some wonderful Wednesday night prayer meeting. And there are a few people here who want to share testimony that I've asked personally to do so, because of what they've been through and what the Lord has done for them in changing their lives, and also in making them being a better person, a Christian today. And my wife told me she wanted to give a testimony because God has been so good to her. And so I'm going to ask her if she would come. Today's her birthday, and I want to call on her first to come and share her testimony with us. And then there's this wonderful, I'm telling you, God is so good. There's this wonderful testimony that will come after by our dear sister Lena, and her daughter is going to assist her in telling us their experience and their walk with the Lord now. And I'm sure there are many others who will follow. And so we're going to take these two in this order, and then we will proceed from there.
It's always good to be alive. I am always happy to be alive. You listen to the news, you watch the television, there's so many things that are happening. People are dying, babies, young people, old people, everybody's dying. And some of them are so much tragic death. But I'm alive. We're here today. You know, so it's so much to give God thanks for. Just a shout out to all the November people, you know. Okay, we're blessed. It's our month, and we're blessed. And today's my birthday, and I have a lot to be grateful for. So much to be, I think about it, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm old. I'm getting old. But time goes by so fast. Time waits on no man. But I'm grateful that God has given me life, has given me the opportunity to have another birthday. And you guys know how old I am. But I'm not looking that way. I know. I look in the mirror this morning, and I know I'm not looking my age. Name it. Okay? But I have a lot to be grateful for. You know, I always say that you don't know where a person is coming from unless they tell you. And for me to be here today, it's a blessing. You all know I didn't grow up with my parents, which most of you are fortunate enough to have your parents to raise you. I didn't. So the fact that I made it through, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. I can tell you, I met my dad after I got married. That's when I knew him, okay? But I am not the victim of circumstances. I refuse to be a victim of circumstances. Well, I didn't grow up with my dad. My mom didn't take care of me. She gave me away. And yeah, I grew up with my grandparents, so life is hard. No, I'm not going to be a victim of circumstances. Look at me. I refuse to be. You know, I've always told myself, with God on my side, I can make it. And with God on your side, you can make it too. Anybody can make it. You all can make it. I've always studied hard. I've always had a job. I never had to really say, oh, I don't have a job, because I believe in progress. And I would advise my young people, just hold your head high. Just hold it high. Don't settle for anything that's less than the best. Because anything that's less than the best is not good enough. I can tell you that much. You know, right now I'm studying, and I say to my kids in the classroom, I'm studying, I'm teaching, I'm a full-time mom, I go to church, I participate in church activities, and they're like, how do you do that? But it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. I have 4 more classes to finish my doctorate in education. 4. And it's not that I couldn't finish it before, but I'm not going to stress myself. I'm a low-stress person. I'm not going to let anything stress me out. I take 1 class per quarter. And I'm like, that's fine with me. But God is on my side. And I've been so blessed. I have a roof over my head. My kids are healthy. I am 46 years old today. 46. I've never had a broken bone. I've never been hospitalized except to have my kids. Isn't that a blessing? I'm in good health. I can walk from my house to Albertsons, which is like 3 miles away, without feeling any pain. I exercise. I work out. I'm happy. I mean, God has been grateful to me, and I could talk on and on and on, but I know there are other people who have great testimony. But I just want you to know that whatever you want in life, you can achieve it. Just allow God to take full control. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know. It might be a house. It may be a husband. It may be a child. It may be a class you're struggling with. It may be pain. It may be some illness. I don't don't care what it is, but God can fix it for you. I am telling you today that he can fix it. He never goes back on his word, and his words are true. So may God continue to bless you all as I continue to rely on him, because he's a source of my strength. God bless you. I hope Brother Murphy tells his story, because he has a wonderful testimony too.
Amen, amen. Yeah, I told you, when you share your experience with the body, then it can uplift somebody. So I hope that by doing that today, that we will, you know, find strength from these testimony, and that we can be renewed and move forward in faith. Amen. Sister, you want to come forward?
My testimony is to redeem myself from 2 weeks ago. I'm going to do the first half, and Mother's going to finish. And October 14, 2003, my brother and I, we received a call that my mother had had a major stroke. So we rushed to the hospital. They do all types of tests. The doctors tell us that she will never walk, she will never talk, she will never speak, she will never be able to rhyme or reason. The only way we can communicate with her was with the blink of her eyes. Yes, one blink, two blinks for no. And I slept by her side every day for like 2 months in the hospital, and I told the doctors, no, she's going to get better. And they told me, you know, you young lady, put your mom in a convalescent home because she's just going to be a vegetable. I spoke to my mom. I said, we can either take you to a convalescent home or we can take you home. But if we take you home, you have to work. I said, because I have the faith for you to get better, but you have to work. So she was able to blink once. We took her home, and 7 years later, now my mom's going to tell you what she's able to do.
Yeah. Yeah. God bless you. Yeah, I'm able to do the things.
First of all, she's able to walk. She's able to walk up and down stairs, which is a miracle, all by herself. She's able to talk. She's able to eat on her own. She's able to make her own bed. She's able to wash her own clothes. She's able to do the dishes. She's able to cook dinner. She's able to write her name. She's just able to remember, even though it takes her a while to speak. But she can think, she can hear, she can rhyme, she can reason. To get baptized. Amen. Yeah. So if God brought her that far, he can take her anywhere. Amen. Amen.
Before you go, God has been good. when she shared the testimony with us, she told us exactly what happened and how it happened, and how she was able to communicate to get, you know, help, because she was alone. Weren't you alone?
Yeah.
You want to share that with us?
Well, my brother and I worked in Orange County at the time, so we were both on the freeway. And he happened to have a friend that was at Home Depot. He was right around the corner from the house, and he asked him to go to the house to check on her. He rang the doorbell, and no one answered, and he kicked the door down to get to her. And she was unconscious. She had thrown up on herself. But if it weren't for him being where he was, she would not be here standing here today.
That was after several phone calls, because you tried to call her and couldn't get you couldn't get through to her. They've been trying to call her, wasn't able to get through to her, and that's how they sent a friend to go check on her and find that she was unconscious. She was on the floor. And you see, man has said that she wouldn't be able to walk, but with much prayer, with much determination, thanks to her daughter and her son, she's here today. And in her right mind. This is just to tell you and to show you how powerful a God we serve. There is nothing too hard, nothing too big that he cannot solve. Can we sing that song? There is there's nothing too big for God to. There is a mountain too high that God cannot climb. There's a valley too low that he cannot move it. If he carried the weight of the world on his shoulder. Okay. If he carries the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. Come on, let's sing that together. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. If he carries the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my sister, that he will carry kind of God we serve, Brother McCord. That's the kind of God we serve. God is powerful. If we would just allow him to move in our lives, all the trials and all the tribulations that we're going through in this life, he can see us through. He promised he would. We just got to hold him to it. We got to hold him to it. I'm sure there are other testimonies. Brother Duane, want to come on up.
Happy Sabbath, everybody. I just want to praise God this morning because he helped me through a lot this year. I mean, I went through a lot. I mean, because me and my wife, we had a, it was rough because me and her was almost split, but God saw us through that, so I praise him for that right there. And, you know, I got some issues going on myself, and I know he's going to work me through those. But it's kind of the medical ones. I don't worry about that stuff because I know he's going to take care of all of that. But the one I really want to thank him for was my mother and all you guys when you prayed for her that day. Because they said that she had, they thought she had lung cancer. And when you guys came up here and everybody was praying for her, and, you know, and then I called her back that Tuesday, and she said they didn't find anything, you know. And I said, God, it's only God the one that can do it, you know, because at first she was She was scared. I mean, you could hear in her voice, she was scared. We was all scared for her, me and my brothers and sister. And but I told her, hey, whatever happens, you know, God gonna handle it either way it goes. But then, you know, she finally came out here, what was it, last Saturday night. And, you know, we were hanging out with her the other day, and she wasn't feeling too good, and her legs had swollen up and whatnot. So they put her in the hospital last night. And, you know, she's kind of scared. We talked to her last night, my brothers and whatnot. They found out what she has, congestive heart failure, but she wasn't taking her medication. So it's kind of, it swole up her, all her lower extremities, you know, it's real bad. And, but she's in there right now, and I'm going to see her later on. But I know with God's help and prayer that she's going to be all right, you know. She's going to be out of there about tonight, and I told her that. I said, if not, you'll be out of there tomorrow, so don't worry about it. You know, God will take care of you no matter what happens. And you know, as I tell my kids all the time, I said, you know, growing up, I didn't have a lot, you know. And nowadays, you know, as I look back and reflect, me and my brother was doing that on Thanksgiving with my mom, and we were sitting there like, wow, we didn't have a lot. I mean, I think our house was as big as this room right here. That's with everything, you know, kitchens and everything. And I tell them now, what I have now is like, wow, I feel it's a mansion compared to what I had back then. And that's why I tell my wife all the time that, hey, I'm just glad to serve God. You know, when I come to this church and people ask me to do things, sometimes I do get frustrated, but then I realize, hey, it's just what God wants you to do. No matter what people say, he's gonna help me get through it. And I just believe that long as you trust in him and believe in him, anything is possible. And I know this church here, if we believe and trust in God, it's going to be bigger than what we can imagine. I mean, because this right here is just a temporary building. We focus that it's going to be the main building, but God has a plan for us if we all just trust and believe in him and work through these things together. Now, not individually. I mean, all of us should come together and just, I mean, pray about the things that we want God to do for us as this church to grow. And as in saying that, I'm saying that if we just start reflecting back where we used to be as a church, this used to just be a house when we first got here, Sister Will. You remember that, Doc? I mean, when we came over, it was just a building. And her dad, he saw more than that. You know, he saw this could be something that can be a light in the community. And we can be a beacon in this community if we just trust in God. I mean, look at the sister there. I mean, nobody thought that, I mean, her family didn't think she was going to be able to be around here for this long. She's still here. And I know if we trust in God that we're going to be able to make it. And this church is going to be so big that we don't know what to do with it. You know, this is going to be the kids' church once we're done with it, once God is done with it. But what I want to say in closing is thank everybody for praying for my mother. Because, you know, I told her that and she was like, man, it had to be God and the people praying for her that got her through that. And I know, if they, you know, everyone prays for her now, that she's going to be all right, and she's going to come home and hang out with me at the house. All right.
Sister Mary.
Well, good morning and happy Sabbath. You guys are probably wondering why Isaiah is standing with me. Well, this is Isaiah's testimony, and it has become mine through Isaiah. He wanted me to give it. Elder Fortune, Pastor Drummond, some other people I talked to in regards to Isaiah's temper. He was having some behavioral problems. The grades were high. They were where they should be and more. But he was really struggling last year with his temper. And I tell you, I prayed and I cried like I never have in my life. God has blessed me with 5 children. And this is the one I found myself on my knees more. And I would talk to Isaiah about how, and I would encourage him to continue to pray and believe, have faith in knowing that one day God is going to answer your prayer. And it's going to happen like this, Isaiah. When he answers your prayer, you're not going to even realize it happens because it happens like that. And one day you're going to look up and you're going to realize, wow-wee, God did answer my prayer. Well, this year has been, I mean, a complete turnaround where even the boys and girls in his class speaks of Isaiah in a good way. Because I tell you, last year he had some people quite afraid of him. You see these muscles? God has blessed Isaiah. God has blessed me. I can stand up here and shout hallelujah, praise the Lord all day. Isaiah, we were talking one day, and he says, Mom, there's a little girl in my class kicked me. And she kicked him in the behind. She caught him off guard on the monkey bars. That was her way to introducing Isaiah to one of the new students in the school. So he didn't retaliate. He came home and he told me about it. He said it did hurt, of course. So, you know, we spoke to the teacher about it, and it's okay. You know, but he came and one day he says, Mom, he says, God answered. I asked God to help me with just one thing. He says, God, help me with many. With many, not one, but many. And he began to speak of these many things that God has, prayers that God has answered. The first one was for Daddy to come home. Those of you that know my family knew that Daddy was away for a little bit. And we have a prayer box at home, and I tell the kids to feel free to write down whatever you want. You don't have to let me know what it is, and put it in the prayer box. God will handle it. Well, Isaiah asked me, he told me what he wanted me to write, and I wrote it down, and it was a letter to God, you know, asking God to send Daddy home, to send Daddy home soon. And Dad knew about the bad behavior. This had been going on for like 2 years. So Dad had promised him a spanking when he come home. So he said, Dear God, please let Daddy come home real soon. Although he said, what was his prayer? Although Daddy is gonna whip me, I still want Daddy to come home. So once Daddy came home, he didn't realize the prayer had been answered right then. This was a few months ago, you know, we started talking about it. And I tell him, I says, you know, Isaiah, God do love you. And he do answer boys and girls' prayers all the time. Little boys, little girls, mommies and daddies, grandmommies and granddaddies. Look at this little boy. Listen to his testimony and don't forget this testimony. Because what God has done for him, God can do for you also. Praise God.
Amen. He answers little kids' prayer as well. That's a lesson in itself for each of us as grown-up too, because sometimes we feel that he doesn't answer our prayers. But God answers each of us.
Happy Sabbath, everybody. First of all, I want to give all praises to God and to my church members here. And I'm going to try not to cry this time. I can't let testimonies go by without letting sharing what God has done for me. It's just wonderful, you know, just to be able to stand up here and share the things that God has done for me. First of all, I want to say what I've done for God. I had on my job, you know, some of my Sabbath school books and literature that I get here, I pass them out on the job. And I always, you know, the ones that don't even know God, you know, I talk to them about God. You know, one day I was in San Diego, and this guy, he was getting his truck had broke down, you know. So he said, oh, my truck's not working. So I said, you know what, I jumped in the truck. I said, I told my wife, I said, you know what, I'm going to pray for this guy. I got back out of the truck and went and got him out of the truck. And grab his hands, you know, and start praying for him, that, you know, God will repair his equipment, you know. So anyway, God's really blessed me. I have a son I haven't seen in 16 years, and I hadn't been able to visit him because I couldn't, get to visit him. So I prayed, and asked the church to pray. And finally, after 16 years, I got a chance to visit my son. You know, so God, he's blessed me. He blessed me also, you know. And it just, I just thank God, you know, for my wonderful wife. And it just prayer. But, you know, we never get to where we think we have too much of God. We never have enough, you know. And, sometimes you can think that you have too much and you'll slip. You know, Satan grab you. So anyway, I go home every day. I told my wife, I said, some keep trying to take me, don't make this left turn, because when I go home, I always go to the left, keep step straight. So one day, I'm on my way home, and I missed that left turn, you know, and I said, you know, and I wasn't paying no attention, and Satan had me then, you know, so I just prayed my way out of it, you know, and I just don't, you know, always hang on to God's unchanging hand. Never think you have enough prayer, because you never have enough. You know, and I had some family problems, you know, at home, and I just pray and ask God, you know, and I just thank God for a God-loving wife and a caring wife, you know, because she's there for me. And, like, I've been, you know, yo-yoing up and down, you know, fighting a spiritual battle, you know. And I have people like Sister and Brother Ximini, you know, I feel they love, you know, because they always ask about me. And tell him I'm praying, the whole church, really, you know. And just God is just really, really, really been good, you know. And I missed Sabbath school last Sabbath, and Brother Fortune, sermon was about going back to slavery, you know. And that really, really, she brought home, she said, look at this, you know. And I was really, really kind of stressed out a little bit. And I listened to that CD that he, you know, his sermon that he had last. And I want to thank you, brother, because, you know, it's right on time. First of all, I thank God for you giving that sermon, you know, and I really needed it. And I just, you know, and praise God, you know, and I just want to thank Imani Church, because from the beginning, you guys got God first, but you all got me where I am today. The strength, you know, and prayers that you give me. You know, I can't help it. I go again. But anyway, I just want to thank God, you know, for everybody in the love. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Sister Paula.
Mine is not probably as great as the ones you guys said, but the only thing is it reminded me of something. On Friday, anyone here heard of Black Friday? Okay, I always participate, and this Friday, I went with my grandson. My husband, for the first time, came with me. But there was a TV my grandson wanted. Some of you know him, Lachey. And he wanted a 32-inch TV his father was purchasing for him, but I was going for him. I stood in line like you're supposed to get these tickets. Unfortunately, I didn't get one because they said they ran out. So he was really, really sad. So I asked the manager, don't you guys have other ones? And they said, no, it costs more. Then I seen people walking around with TVs, the same kind of TV, and I say, how'd you guys get them? Oh, I asked the manager. So I asked two different managers, and they told me no. I went to another one, and she told me, well, you know what? We don't have no more, but you would have to pay extra for the other ones. And I said, why, if it's the same 32-inch? Everybody else said it costs the same. She called the store manager, and the store manager said no, he was not going to pull any TV out. So she said, you know what? I'm going to go in the back, see if I find you one. And I thought to myself, because I was arguing with this manager, and I said, why am I sitting here arguing with this manager? Why? So I said, only one that can create the miracle will be one person. So I said, yep. I prayed, and I said, my Lord, I'm sorry. I'm here arguing. I should leave this in your hands. If it meant to be for him to get this TV, it will be if you allow it. And guess what? The lady came back with the TV.
There are a lot of excited people here. okay, Elder Fortune want to give a short one, and Chandel want to give a short one, and Elder Murphy wants to give one. So we're just going to praise the Lord, amen? Let's just listen to what they have to say, amen?
Okay, mine is I remember my dad was talking about how he used to talk about the different things that he wanted, and he'd make a list. And a while ago, I felt kind of depressed and sad. I didn't have my sister or my brother here with me. And I wasn't doing the things I used to do. I used to write a lot. I used to draw and sew a lot, and I wasn't doing any of that stuff. So I took a post-it, and I wrote a list. I asked God to help me with my finances because I couldn't afford my my car insurance. And a few other things, I asked him to help me to get back into my hobbies and stuff like that. And I prayed about it, I cried for a while, and then I let it go. And like a couple months later, I went back in my calendar because I posted it on my calendar. And I saw on my calendar that all the things, it was probably like five or maybe eight things, all the things were taken care of, like all of them. So, yeah. And then it made me think about it again last week because there were still a few things I need to take care of. So this time I pulled like five, six post-its and wrote like a long list. But yeah, I'm praying that God will help me because I really do believe it. I really do.
Every time Shondell stands up, it's a miracle. Shondell was about 4 years old. She was sleeping in another room, and I was in a completely different room. I woke up for some unknown reason at 3 o'clock, and I'm like, why am I up? 2 minutes after I got up, I heard a convulsion in the other room. Her blood sugar was 30. Normal blood sugar is supposed to be 90. If I had slept through that event, she would have been a vegetable. So every time she stands up, it's a testimony to God's goodness. She no longer wears glasses. She used to. She no longer wears glasses. And my prayer used to be, Lord, either take away the diabetes or keep her away from the complications. And he has been that good. And on my part, I've driven about 100,000 miles this year, fell asleep a few times, still here. No accidents, brother. Still here. A lot of people have lost their jobs and stuff. Still here. Give me a little extra, too. The Lord has been so good. The Lord has been so good in spite of our weaknesses and failures. Praises be to God.
I want to talk to you about that little extra. I'm one of those brothers who did lose his job. That's not why I stood up here. I got just a short testimony. Now, Sister Sandra called me out, so I'm not sure which testimony she's talking about. You know, there are several. And I shouldn't be standing here today. I shouldn't be standing here today. And I'm going to tell you two good reasons why. As a kid, I remember a time when my brothers and sisters and I were playing with ammonia. Now, everybody, you know what ammonia is and how potent it is. And we were putting one another asleep up against the wall. I probably told you all this story. It was funny to us. And we get up against the wall and you push in the other person's chest real hard. And it kind of knocks you out. We used to do this as kids, and then we take the ammonia and wake you up. You smell it again, it's real strong. We got in trouble for doing it, but, you know, my parents left the house, and we played. The young ones know, you all leave that alone. Quit playing with it. But we were hard-headed. And I remember my oldest brother put me to sleep against the wall, and I was conscious enough to hear them. And he said, he ain't sleep. And he took that ammonia, and he tried to make me smell it, but it went in my mouth. I mean, he slipped and I poured a grip of it, went in my mouth, and it burned incredibly hot. And I opened my mouth and all my skin just started coming out. And one of my brothers ran to get a cup of water, and he brought it to me and said, here, drink this. You know, he wasn't thinking. But they thought maybe if they can give me something to drink. So I took the water, and somehow, for some reason, I had the presence of mind not to swallow. But I put that water in my mouth, and probably for a couple of days, the skin in my mouth, my jaws were paper thin. It completely ate, just tore my mouth. Anyway, that's a short testimony. I got another one. That was long. Well, I better not tell the gas one then, because that's a long one. And there was another time where I should have died. We were once again told by my parents not to go outside and play after they left. And we waited for them to leave. And and this is not that. I mean, we did this. And every time we disobeyed, one of us got injured. I mean, severely injured. But there was this field on the end of a couple of houses over from us, and it had this tall grass. And we used to love and play hide and seek and everything. So after they left, we went outside to play. And I was getting chased by somebody, and I fell. And I don't know what kind of object I fell on, but when I fell on it, it hit my wrist, and the skin poked up through. It didn't come through, but it poked my skin up through my wrist. And when the doctor told my family that if it had just been a centimeter over, I would have bled to death. And I'm saying this because I know that if God would not have been watching over me as a kid, I wouldn't be here. Those two incidents alone, and I assure you there are others that I can share with you to tell you that I know for sure that the Lord protects us.
Blessed by all the testimonies today, and about a couple weeks ago, I was getting ready for work, and the Lord dropped this song in my spirit. And basically, every single testimony that we have heard today will reflect and on this song. So I've asked Sister McGlover to play for me, and the band's gonna go with me too. The Lord, He will make a way. Oh, yes, He will. I know the Lord will make a way. Oh, yes, He will. The Lord will make a way. Oh, yes, He will. Oh, I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, He will. Troubles too. Yes, I can.
you didn't know it, but you just had a Pentecost experience. Because in Pentecost, it said that the Holy Ghost came in with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. You started out in praise, but God throws a little extra on the top. He said, oh, the service is good, but let me just give you a little extra to keep the praise going. You got a history lesson. That was the African-American experience that brought us through in the church. All the frustrations and all the aspirations will come together in the presence of the Lord. Amen? That's what brought us through, people. And that's what's going to continue to take us through. Praise, prayer, worship, thanksgiving. Let us have some prayer, because God will make a way. We live in an age, we live in the last days. The elder said it earlier, I believe. He said God's coming back. Men's hearts are failing them for fear. We're stressed out. We're attacked. We're pressed under. We're huddled together. And even in the church, quiet as it's kept, like Brother Martin said, we look at each other and we have no idea what each person is going through individually. But when we're all being pressed and stressed out, it's manifested itself collectively too. And right now, our church, God is afraid of this crazy little church. I'm going to tell you why. Because this church is willing to get out there and do unusual things under the prompting of the Holy Ghost. We're going to stumble into the power of God. And God is trying to kill this baby before it comes to fruition. So this prayer that I'm going to have right now is for our church. We're going through a lot. Families, individuals are going through a lot. The church as a whole collectively is going through a lot. But God said, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer. So we're asking right now that we would just pray for the church. Let's, every head is bowed. Every head is bowed. God, who hears prayer, who sits up high, but whose eyes look low, whose eyes go to and fro the earth, whose presence is everywhere. Oh, living God, who answers prayer. You answer little boys' prayers, God, that daddy will come home, even if there's a beating attached to him coming home. You answered that prayer. Father God, you answered prayers concerning temper. You've answered prayers concerning diabetes. You've woken parents up in the middle of the night so that they would be alert and awake to see about their child. Father God, you've rebuked the reports of the doctors and the naysayers. And you've had the faith and you've responded to the faith of children who love their mother. You've responded not only to that faith, but you gave the mother a measure of faith herself, oh God, so that even when people say you can't make it into the baptismal pool, she was determined and by your grace went down into the water, came up changed. Father God, you even put gas stations in the middle of nowhere. Who are we dealing with? Lord, we come before you today and we confess our sins. And we praise your name. We confess our faults and we give you praise. Father God, look over this congregation right now. Lord, look into every situation and bless it according to how you see fit. If you will not give us, if you will not remove the trial or the test, give us the strength to endure it. I love the song. If he will carry the weight of the world on his shoulders, brother, he will surely carry you. I love the song. I know the Lord will make a way somehow. Father God, we don't know the future, what the future holds, but we know that you hold the future. Let us stay faithful, God. Let us stay faithful, God. Father, we thank you for how you blessed Dwayne and his mom, how you rebuked the reports of cancer. God, you've been pouring out blessings. You've been very busy, God, and we thank you because it is evident now as we share our testimonies that you've been busy in our behalf. You've been busy working things out to our favor, and we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and to share the good report, to share the good news. Now bless Imani, oh God. Bless the leadership of this church that we might be men and women of integrity before you. Father God, bless the office holders in this church, men in integrity, men and women of integrity in service to you. Bless the membership of this church, men, women, boys, and girls of integrity in service to you. We thank you. We know that you hear prayers, so we thank you in advance for how you're going to answer it. And we ask, oh Father God, that you would sustain us until the time of your son's appearing. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the people of God say amen. And let us get a little revamp on I Know the Lord will Make a Way.